Well, Happy New Year, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to 2015 at Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and as a result, live the good news of Jesus Christ. This is a special holiday edition of the program, therefore the phone lines are not open today. But still, it's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob, and we do want to extend a very happy new year to all of our listeners today. It's an exciting transition from, you know, the old year to the new year.
Yep.
I think all of us look forward with hope, with excitement, with possibilities. So this is an exciting time for so many people.
Absolutely.
I know there's many folks that are making New Year's resolutions to lose 10 pounds or to read more books or, you know, all of these sort of things. And, you know, we kind of have a different take on that as far as resolutions are concerned. I don't think I've made a resolution in some 20 years. And how about you, Richard?
Well, I'm going to quit carrying such heavy books. That way I will lose the weight.
There you go. Well, it's interesting because really our hope and the possibilities are all tied to Jesus. Yeah. And what he's accomplished for us. And I think that's all about this new life that we've been called to live in him. It's a life of faith. Mercy Me has a brand new album out. They released it last year, and it's got some of the best Christian music on it that's out there today. I love Bart Millard. He's been on our program, and you know, there's been a transformation in his understanding and his belief system. And the name of this album that they have out is Welcome to the New. I love that title.
Yeah.
We just wish I'd come up with it, with that name. I love that. And that's what Christianity is. I mean, it's a welcoming to the new. Mm-hmm. It's a departing from the old way of life and an embracing the new. So I think today, as we talk about some really key passages in the New Testament that I want to share, seven different things that we can take forward with us into the new year about all that is new with us as believers in Christ. So we're excited about that, but welcome to the new.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel on New Year's Day, and thank you for joining us. Those of you who are so dedicated as to not watch football games and who have joined us, we appreciate that very, very much. Again, the phone lines are not open today because it is a special holiday edition of the broadcast.
Yes, indeed. You know, the word new is an interesting word. I like it. And I'll bet that if you're listening, you like the word new as well. Especially as it relates to new things. You know, most of us have just come off of Christmas, and we've enjoyed some time with our families, and we've opened gifts, and we've received new things. You know, I received some new things, and I'll, you know, some new clothes and some new pair of shoes, and I love those things. Yeah. I'm excited about them and couldn't wait to wear them and to, you know, to feel good about myself and this new stuff. But we like new stuff. We like new cars. We like new houses. We like new gadgets. And even the new year, we like the new year. We like saying goodbye to the old year and welcoming the new year. We all like new things. We all want new things. But sometimes the word new is also a scary word. Because it means change. It means that we're going to have to let go of those things that were comfortable to us, the way that we've always done things, to embrace whatever new is dangling in front of us. And that is a very, very scary proposition. I encourage people to think about the first day on a new job. You know, there was awkwardness, there was embarrassment, there was all this feeling stupid maybe sure. on that first day because you just didn't know where you fit. That old job, you knew exactly what to do, you knew what was expected of you, and you were comfortable with that. But you had to let that go to, you know, take a new job that had better possibilities. But that transition, there's an awkwardness there. There's a fear factor that's in that. Or how about moving to a new church, trying to fit into a new church, or trying to fit into a school, or trying to fit into a new neighborhood? There's all kinds of scary possibilities. How about a guy that's been in prison for 20 years of his life for a crime that he's committed, and all he's known really is his adult life is the jail cell. And life behind bars and fences and gates and all of those sort of things. And then he comes to the end of his sentence and he's released. He's released out into freedom. That's new. That's scary.
Yeah.
And that's why so many prisoners return to jail. Almost 75% of prisoners in America today that are released within 5 years return to jail. Hmm. Why? Because new is a scary proposition. It's unfamiliar. It's unknown. But for us in Christ, new is the most exciting word out there because everything new about us is really attached to Jesus Christ. And he's taken the fear out of this new life that we have. I know there are many people who resist the gospel message. They hear the good news of Jesus Christ. But they don't want to truly believe it because they're going to have to let go of their current way of life. And they don't want to do that. They're familiar with their current way of life. And for some, it's a very sinful way of life. It's like, well, why would you want to stay in that? For others, it's just a comfortable, you know, you're happy. Things are okay. Family is good. Job is good. And you don't want to have to give up on all of that. I know there's many folks who say, you know, I don't want to give my life to Jesus because, you know, what if he sends me to a third world country? You know, it makes me do mission work.
That was my fear, yeah. I didn't want to do that because I might go someplace I didn't want to go.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, this gospel message can be a frightening thing, but it's all about new. Spiritual birth, the moment we are born again, we're ushered into the new. And the Bible gives us seven things that are new about us. The signature verse is 2 Corinthians 5:17. And I know this is a favorite verse of all of ours here at Basic Gospel. And Paul made this point, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. Let me just read that again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So here's the question. Are you in Christ? That's a big question, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's not one of those, you know, little questions that we can just gloss over. I mean, it's one of the biggies of life. Are you in Christ? Because there's only two places that you can be. You're either lost in Adam or you are alive in Christ. As far as God is concerned, those are the only two options. When he looks down upon the world, he sees a whole bunch of people who are lost and in Adam, and then he sees a whole bunch of people who have been saved, who are fully alive, who are in Christ Jesus. Yeah. So if you're in Christ Jesus, if that's true of you, well, the old has gone, the new has come. That's just truth. You may not feel that, you may not think that, but if you're in Christ, this is true. The old has gone, the new has come. Well, what is the new? What are the things that the Word of God says are new about us? Well, first, we have a new life. We had an old life. It wasn't very good. We tried to doll it up and make it as good as it possibly could be, but even then, it's not very good. There was something missing. There was something that wasn't right with us, something that left us still wanting more. That's what the old life was, and the Bible says that really is death, but with this new creation, there's new life. Paul talked about that in Romans 6. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So the old is gone. It was buried with Christ through baptism into death so that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we may live a new life. So the first thing about being a new creature in Christ is that we have new life.
Right.
It's Christ's life that has invaded our souls, our spirits, and has brought us to life in Him. We have a new identity. You know, that's one of those big questions, isn't it? It is huge. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? All of that stems from this issue of identity. And we're trying to find our place in the world. We're trying to find that spot that we fit in, where our gifts and talents can be used. And so we identify ourselves based on what we do. I'm a businessman. I'm a lawyer. I'm a doctor. I'm a mother. I'm a father. I'm a wife. I'm a husband. I'm all of these different things. I'm an athlete. But those identities come and go. There's no lasting value to those.
Right.
They don't endure through thick and thin. And those identities leave us wanting as well. But in Christ, we have a brand new identity. In John, we read this, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Boy, what a powerful statement. And he goes on to talk about that new identity comes from new birth, the fact that we've been born of God spiritually. So we all have this new identity, and there's no identity in the world that can compare to being a child of God. It's like God took us from, you know, at the point where we were, and that was at the very bottom of the ladder,
yep.
And he just lifted it up, us up and put us at the top and said, "You're a child of God,"
yeah.
Through new birth. That's pretty amazing.
Absolutely.
So you have a new life, you have a new identity, you have a new self. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So you had an old self. That old self was part of the world system. It was controlled by the powers of darkness, the way of the world. That old self lived to gratify the desires of the flesh. Well, that's what we were comfortable with. And that's what we're called to let go of, to embrace this new self that was created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That's astounding, isn't it, Richard?
Oh, it really, words fail. When you begin to think what it is that God wants for us. I mean, if we started talking here about resolutions, well, everything you're talking about here are God's resolutions toward us. And when he makes a resolution, it's a done deal.
It's finished.
It's finished.
Yes, indeed. So we have a new self, new life, new identity, new self. We've been given a new heart. And I think this is one of those truths that we really don't fully embrace, because we're constantly saying, you know, I've got a heart problem. You know, I've got a deceitful heart. I've got a corrupt heart. I've got all of those sort of things. But in Christ, we've been given a new heart. Ezekiel, the prophet, talked about that. He said, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." An incredible prophecy that was fulfilled in the work of Christ. So when we come to Christ by faith, there is a circumcision of the heart. The evil is cut away within these hearts of ours, and we've been given a brand new heart that leans toward God, that is inclined toward him. And that's good news. So we can trust God to work through these hearts of ours. So we have a new heart. That's amazing. I love that prophecy. And then something that we all cherish and talk about so often, the fact that we have a new covenant. This is one of those vital truths that really changes us, that transforms us, that gives us that aha moment in life when we realize that we're not under the old, but we're a part of the new covenant. Hebrews talks about this new covenant. As a matter of fact, Richard, you and I did a series,
yes,
on the new covenant, on the book of Hebrews. Mm-hmm. We named it, "It's All Yours." Why? Because this new covenant gives us everything that our hearts have ever longed for in Christ. Everything that we could need for life and godliness has been provided for us in this new covenant. And so that book of Hebrews is to teach us that this new covenant is far superior than the old, and to move us to let go of the old and to embrace the new. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Where is that eternal inheritance found? Within the framework of the new covenant. When Jesus Christ died, he ushered in the new covenant. His blood ratified this new covenant. His death put an end to the old. It fulfilled the old in its entirety, and he ushered in the new. That's where we live today, in this new covenant. And I think as we move into 2015, if you're struggling as a believer in Christ, this is where you need to spend the majority of your time learning about the new covenant. We have several incredible resources that can help you do that. First, we have a Bible study guide called The New Covenant Journey. It's part of our Basic Gospel Study Series, the first book in our Basic Gospel Study Series, and the purpose of this is to help connect you to the love of Jesus Christ. But this is called The New Covenant Journey. If you're struggling in your Christian life, if you feel fearful, experiencing guilt, think God is distant from you, you need this resource, The New Covenant Journey. Also, I would point you to the series that I just mentioned that Richard and I did on the book of Hebrews. It's all yours. That series is divided into two parts. I would encourage you to get a hold of those. Your life will be different.
Absolutely.
It will change everything for you. Why? That's how important understanding that you are in the new covenant is. It's life-changing truth.
Yeah, I'll just interject very quickly that It's All Yours and The New Covenant Journey are available from our online store, and you'll find it when you visit store.basicgospel.net, or you can call and speak with our operator during Central Time office hours on days that we are at the office, of course, at 844-41-BASIC. Again, It's All Yours and The New Covenant Journey, along with many other opportunities for spiritual growth and development in the Lord Jesus Christ, are yours when you visit store.basicgospel.net.
Yes, indeed. So to recap where we've been thus far, we've talked about the fact that as a new creature in Christ, and that's what all of us are if we've come to Christ by faith, we are new creations. The old is gone, the new has come. This is what is new. We have a new life. We have a new identity. We have a new self. We have a new heart. We have a new covenant. We also have a new command. You know, that's one of the questions, and it just follows from this truth that we are a part of the new covenant. What about the Ten Commandments? Are those still applicable in our lives today? Are we to try to live up to those commands? Is that our rule of life? Well, the New Testament answers that, and Jesus actually answers that as in one of his discussions with his disciples right before his death, burial, and resurrection. And he said this to them, "A new command I give you." So he spells it out right there. It's not the old command. I'm not talking about those Ten Commandments. I'm talking about a new command. Well, what is it? To love one another. And you say, wait a minute. That's part of the old. We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and we're to love our neighbor as ourself. Well, that's true. That's what those Ten Commandments are really summarized in. That's what those Ten Commandments point toward, a love of God and a love of others. But under the old covenant, we didn't have the power to carry that out. We didn't have the power to love God. We lived in fear of God under the Old Covenant. The Jews lived in fear of God under the Old Covenant. If we try to live up to those Ten Commandments, we're going to live in fear of God as well. Why? Because we can't do it. We continually fall flat on our face. And the Ten Commandments speak words of judgment, condemnation, and death to us. That's the sentence that it gives us, and that's the language that it uses. Why? Because we're the problem. We're sinful.
Yes, we're the problem.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we couldn't do it. And because we couldn't love God, we really couldn't love others as well. But in this new covenant, Jesus said, I want you to love one another. And then he raises the bar. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Well, Jesus loved us unconditionally. Mm-hmm. Jesus loved us perfectly. Jesus loved us without strings attached. Jesus just loves us. Now, we're supposed to love others in exactly the same way. That's our new command. Well, is that possible? Absolutely. It's possible. Why? Because that's the new life that we've been given. That's part of the new identity that we have. That's part of the new self that's been created in righteousness and holiness. That's part of the new heart that we have. That's part of this new covenant. All of that is there so that we can carry out this new command to love one another as Christ has loved us. And that gets us down to the last of these passages. We have a new way. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. What is this new life that we have? Well, it's the new way of the Spirit. This life that we have in Christ is Spirit-led from start to finish. He's the one that puts the love of God into our hearts. He's the one that renews our minds and gives us an understanding of the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of God. He's the one that works love into us in such a way that it starts to overflow into the lives of others. So all that we are in Christ is carried out in our day-to-day experience by the Spirit of God as we learn to walk by the Spirit, abide in the indwelling of His presence, to be filled with the Spirit of God, to allow His life to flow through us into the lives of others. So, as we come to the close of the broadcast, as you move forward into 2015, if you've been struggling in your life, it's time to let go of the old. There's nothing worth hanging on to. There's nothing of value there. It's an empty way of life. The world tries to make all the things of the world shine and glisten and glitter and all of that, and it looks fascinating on the surface. But there's nothing behind it. It's just an empty shell. And if you go in that direction, you're going to find nothing but emptiness, heartache, pain, sorrow, and death. It's time to let go of that and to embrace the new. No need to look back. There's nothing to look back on.
Yeah.
Look forward. Press on to the high calling of all that you have in Christ Jesus. That should be your plan for the new.
Absolutely.
So from all of us at Basic Gospel, I want to wish you a very happy new year for 2015.
Indeed we do. And a reminder also that social media is a great way to follow Basic Gospel. And if what you hear on this broadcast every day has made a difference in your life, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. That's Basic Gospel RDO. And as we mentioned, as Bob mentioned, the two resources, It's All Yours and The New Covenant Journey, those along with other very, very, I would say, invaluable resources are available from our online store at store.basicgospel.net. That's store.basicgospel.net. And we invite you to go online to basicgospel.net and join our email list. There are multiple benefits to staying connected with Basic Gospel, and we want to share them with you. So just click subscribe in the upper left corner of any page at basicgospel.net. Also, guys, you know, we've talked about it as we ended the old year, but just because the old year is gone, that doesn't mean that the need for support has gone away. And as we get into the new year, please continue to help as much as you possibly can by going online to basicgospel.net or during Central Time office hours, call and speak with Billy, our operator, at 844-41-BASIC. That's 844-41-BASIC. Hope you'll jot that number down, keep it handy, and help us as you can with your most generous gift to Basic Gospel. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody, for this first broadcast of the new year. Now, for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and all the ministry team, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.